Fred Film Radio.
Joining us at this time on the BFT is director Ugis Aalto, whose new film Upurga was screened at Tallinn Black Nights this year. Ugis, welcome to the show.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have you. Ugis, let's get right into it. Obviously, we're going to be talking about your new film. But first off, I'd like to go back. This is the first time we talk, so I'd like to know a little bit more about you. I was reading up a bit, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you have a background in journalism. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I decided to do after finishing high school. Then I quit almost before the finish line to start doing other things, including directing TV documentaries and stuff like that. And then 2 years ago, just to make my life more interesting again, I returned to study. So I'm also a journalism student right now. And hopefully I will graduate in 2022.
Hopefully. Well, I wish you all the best of that. And it's great that you went back to that. But just to get back to kind of your background in journalism, how did that translate into your eventual entrance into the world of filmmaking? Or were movies always a big part of your life?
Subconsciously. Well, you know that in '90s, there was this phenomenon which was called pirated movies, the two in one, like you can rent out this 3 hour long, you could rent out, not now, you could rent out this 3 hour long VHS tape, which usually had two random movies and some music videos in the end. And there were like shops where you can pay money, what? Get whatever you want, and then you probably, you use the weekend to watch them and then you return them. And that's how we got exposed to Western cinema, because but the fun thing was that usually all those films were dubbed by the same guy.
I know about that trend. Yeah.
Yeah, and he did it live, so we rarely heard like original sound.
Yeah.
And that was like a discovery later when you could get access to like proper archives of history of cinema. You can start watching all over, because now you can hear the original sound and learn how the sound can be used in film.
So what kind of movies were you watching in these tapes?
It was everything, really everything. Like the top thing was all those action movies with Schwarzenegger and Stallone. But like probably the biggest impact on me was Omen. We watched all three parts in the same night, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and we were doing in the first floor of the building, and suddenly there's like the curtain moves and the hand comes into the room. It was our friend who was just passing by late at night and decided to just scare us, not knowing that we are watching like one of the horrifying horror movies of all time. Right. So that was something that saved in my operating system.
Did memories of that view and experience influence your new film, making your new film? Because this is kind of your debut in the horror genre.
No, but I have never been like somebody who's paying too much attention to horror movies. I really have such a fragile nervous system. Once I was watching Conjuring, I believe it was, and it was such an intense experience that I had to stop, go to Wikipedia, read the plot just to know what happens, and then I could proceed because I happened to dissolve inside the movie quite easily, and it can be intense. And also with this film, it was never intention to go some specific genre path. It was just attempt to reinterpret or enrich with something mythological the life experience that I have had when I was like spending much time in the woods and by the rivers.
Yeah.
You just always know that there is something more, and I wanted to show this something more in this movie.
Yeah. Well, The Conjuring is a pretty frightening film. I'll give you that one. But this film kind of expands on on the horror genre. I mean, I felt like it was a horror genre, but also sometimes it reminded me of the works of Werner Herzog, you know, very physical exploration of wilderness. But we'll get into that a little bit, because it's interesting what you said. You don't like to, or you find that horror movies or watching horror movies can be an intense experience, a frightening experience at that. But your previous documentary was shot in North Korea, right?
Yes, that's true.
Isn't there something frightening about that experience?
The lucky thing is that I got thrown into this adventure quite quickly, and I'm not the guy who reads news and tries to build the view of the world on things that are written online. So I had pretty little preconceptions, and then when we started to prepare for this trip, we consciously decided that we shouldn't go the same path as other Western filmmakers doing documentaries about North Korea, and the choice was to just show what we observe, like being there, like not making any comments or judgments, and then maybe to just add a layer of playfulness interpreting those observations for the big screen, and that's it. And somehow it was part of the formula why this film, which is called Liberation Day, resonated so well to the people, because they, on one side, they felt relieved that they don't have this heavy load of political or geopolitical bullshit to deal with. And on the second hand, in different cultures, especially in USA, people were confused because they didn't know how to approach it, like, is it pro or against or what is it? This is really delightful for me because we made something that is maybe out of the ordinary box regarding this certain topic.
Well, while you were making these documentaries and in your previous experiences, did you always think that you would eventually want to direct fiction works?
Absolutely. It's just another like way of expressing yourself. My everyday gymnastics is making a documentary TV series for television, because I believe it's still the super strong medium. You get huge audiences, and the beautiful thing is that you can live very intense cycle of production. It's in 2 weeks you do the whole thing. Invent the story, research it, shoot it, edit it, and broadcast. And it's a really, really nice, life-enriching thing. You just experience a lot. Then, if you find some story that lingers with you and resonates more and more, then probably you will make a documentary. But I'm really bad at this. Ideas don't come to me that easily.
Yeah.
And then if something really sticks and you really want to spend at least 4 years of your life investigating the surge, then you do a fiction film. This is my first, because it's, as you know, nobody trusts a guy who doesn't have a previous film, but it's impossible to make the previous film if you haven't made the first. Like, and it's a magic cycle. So I had done some music videos, which is basically the same tool set, only less responsibility. And this was also something that convinced people that they can trust me with their money to make this story.
Ugis, are there any types of stories that you feel particularly drawn to?
Yeah, I always enjoy stories that leave a lot for my own interpretation. I like to digest or look at different angles to the things that film has given me. I never enjoy films that explain mysteries.
Yeah,
it's just boring. Mysteries are much more interesting when you can work with them for a long time. And also, I'm totally not a fan of what I want to call the new wave of social realism. I always feel that cinema is such a great art that it can make tell about things that are larger than life. And if you want to talk about things that are as large as life than you make documentaries. Why do you have to invent fiction about things that you can film in reality? Fiction is good for filming the unreal.
Right. So you don't like it when a film tries to look like a documentary?
No. It's about subject matter. I don't enjoy films that try to do a comment on society and politics, stuff like that. It's just not interesting for me.
All right. Well, so let's talk about the new film. It's called Upurga. Am I pronouncing the title right?
You cannot spell it wrong. Of course, it's right.
Upurga. Okay, so what does it mean? What does the word mean?
It's an invented place name, and it takes two words from different languages. Upe is a river in Latvian, and Urga is river in Livonian, which is like a small, almost extinct nation that inhabits the same area as Latvians do. And we just connected those two words to make one. And when we heard it for the first time from our own mouth, it sounded energetic enough to have the potential to be the title of the film.
Right.
And the second thing that it's... You can use it in any culture. It's always right. It's never wrong.
And so let me just tell our listeners a little bit about what the story of the film is. You know, it's and very, very briefly, I guess, but it's about a small film crew that goes to these woods to kind of shoot a commercial for vegetarian sausages. But once they get there, all sorts of crazy things happen. And maybe we'll get into that a little bit later on. But what was the starting point for you? Was there anything in particular that inspired this film?
Yeah, there was one particular event when I suddenly got frightened by a bunch of wild boars that I accidentally met in a forest. It triggered such an intense wave of confusion and disorientation that I wanted to kind of think about this more. Why do I feel like this? I'm in a forest that I know really well, but suddenly I feel like completely lost. And all those subconscious, mythological and archetypical things are bubbling up in a great intensity. So I wanted to make a story about a guy who experiences such a subjective and really intense internal adventure in a situation that is quite normal or mundane and happens in a normal Latvian forest, which I know really well from my childhood because I grew up in a countryside.
Well, I think it's also pretty impressive when a horror taps into the fears that are very real, you know? And I think some of the scariest moments in my life came from, I guess, blackouts that I had from maybe too much alcohol intake or use of various substances that shall remain nameless for the purpose of this show. But anyways, but all that to say that despite this film's occasional madness and psychedelia, this film does have a core that really seems to tap on common experiences that everybody can understand.
Well, that's what I aim for. And just before the premiere in Tallinn, I spoke to my fellow friend and the cinematographer of another film that was premiering in Tallinn. And he said that he felt really frightened just at the moment when he suddenly didn't hear the sound of a river that he was following along. And then some small critter or mouse was making some noise nearby him. And for him, it was like the biggest threat that he can experience in this situation. And I thought that, well, if this guy has the same experience as I have, then probably we will find enough for this movie to travel well.
What was it like to shoot a film there in this wild river valley? It seems like shooting in a place like that would require a certain level of physical commitment too.
The method is the same as we use for shooting TV documentaries. We do a lot of travel series, and everything you need to know is how to dress properly for Baltic weather.
Yeah.
And
that's one of the lines in the movie, right?
Yeah, we chose to shoot with natural light and in a very brief period, because of, this is like super micro budget film, we shoot it in 17 days, and that meant traveling light. Like our crew is just the minimum, and we used super light equipment. This is probably one of the first films that I know that is shot with Sony Alpha 7S, basically a photo camera. But that was the set of like restrictions that we put on ourselves and just lived to see if it's possible, and it appeared that it's quite doable.
Does it help to put restrictions on yourself? Does it fuel creativity?
Yeah, you just know that okay, the schedule says 4 to 5 scenes a day, and that means that you cannot get to you cannot second guess yourself. You just have to go with the instincts and make it happen. Otherwise, there will be holes in the footage.
Right.
That you will never be able to shoot again, because also the nature in the autumn, Baltic autumn changes really quickly. And when we started, we had 10 hours of sunlight. When we ended, we had 7 hours of sunlight. And if you just make some mistakes and have to plan additional shooting days, then you have to somehow deal with, I don't know, that there is not enough, daylight left. And that is something that was quite stressful. And also this fucking COVID thing, after the first 3 days, suddenly we realized that one of our crew members has been a contact person. Oh. And if COVID stopped the production, it would have to stop for a whole year because the weather changes and the nature changes, and we cannot get what we intended to do. So luckily, only this guy got sick and he was replaced for some time, but all others were safe, probably of the fresh air that we're breathing during the shoot.
Let me tell you then, you shot the film for 17 days. How important was post-production then? How long did that process take you?
Well, it was quite fast. I always enjoy this collective work component of fiction film. Editor has a homework to do before we meet for the first time. Sound designer has the homework to do before we meet for the first time. And then we start to do these intense sessions to shape things maybe more towards what I have intended, or to combine our visions and make something new. We started editing in March. We finished in May. So.
Oh.
It was maybe 10 or 12 days of being together in the same room.
Right.
It wasn't that fast with the sound, because this particular film has really intense audio world, and that took a much more effort to build.
Just as a final question, because we have run out of time, but we talked a bit about messages a movie can carry and how you are kind of suspicious of social realism and films that try to tell you what to think. Do you expect that audiences will try to attach meanings to this movie, and how do you feel about that?
Of course, they should attach meanings to this film, but the thing is that they have to be subjective meanings. You know, the last piece of in a chain of movie production is the viewer, and the best thing that can happen is that the film gives enough impulse for the viewer to come up with his own interpretations and to think his own thoughts, not to just get the message well packed with a red ribbon on top and just open it and consume.
Right.
That we always feel happier when we also have done a bit of work, like deciphering the film.
Yeah,
it always stays longer if you have to commit to the coming up with the meaning.
All right, thanks very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thanks for the conversation.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.